So we're talking about building the home economy because this is the journey that we've been on since I quit my job at Trader Joe's almost a year ago. And
And I think it picked up the concept was really put into our minds when I was reading Wendell Berry and when you were reading
Lisa Graham
McMinn.
McMinn.
But basically, Wendell Berry was saying how the home economy is the most important base of any local or national economy, because right now we've got this industrial economy where there's huge, big industry and all the little homes are just consumers, 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 consumers. And so Wendell Berry says that anything that you can do to take your home away from being a consumption home and to becoming a production home gives you freedom from the industrial system. And so we were just thinking of like some of the really, we never knew this. We were just total consumer household. And I think a lot of people as well talk about the need for a two-income household where, you know, the husband and the wife go and work. And what often happens is that both husband and wife go off to work. You work your 40 to 45 hours, you commute. You have all the stress of having two jobs, coming back home, you know, the 2 hours you have in the evening and the 2 hours you have in the morning. And what happens is your home base gets neglected. You end up eating out a bunch because there's not enough time to cook, there's not enough energy to cook, you're both stressed out and you need a pick-me-up.
Yeah, and your like house probably isn't clean because you don't want to come home from work because you're tired, so you don't clean the house. And so then in order to enjoy your evening, you go out and do other things for entertainment because you don't enjoy your
Being at
home
home.
because it's not a good atmosphere.
And you end up buying stuff as therapy
Yeah, shopping therapy.
shopping therapy, and we, you know, we've been there. That's where we were.
Yes.
We were at the bottom of that pit.
Yes. When we were working two jobs, because that was what was happening last summer. Scott was working a lot, and I was working a lot, and that was the first time in our marriage that we were both working, because prior to that, well, you couldn't
I
work
was not
because
allowed
of
to work with
immigration.
immigration stuff.
And so that was the first time we were really both working full-time jobs. It was not fulfilling. Because you burned through the money that you made.
Yeah, we burned through the money we made. We weren't happy with our lives.
We never saw each
Never
other.
saw each other. And we were both quality time people, so it was like a really big thing on our relationship. So we've talked about the industrial model of consume, 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 both husband and wife work. What is the alternative to this? What is the opposite, the agrarian model to this? So on the one hand, both husband and wife work. And but what the kind of like the half lie or the half truth that we've been led to believe is that okay, now the husband works and the wife stays at home. And so we'll go to that step now, but there's a step beyond that. So we'll go to the step now. And something we really like is we actually when Dave Ramsey on his podcast, when we listen to that, is when he answers the phone and they're talking about income and stuff like that, he'll ask of a person's wife, he'll say, "Does your wife work outside the home or in the home?" It's like, wow, like that's a really great distinction because it is work. Working in the home is work. And so what are some of the things that are productive work when it comes to a home economy?
Yeah, well, I think especially during the summer, it has been gardening and growing our own food and growing our own herbs. And so that's the one part is during the spring, you're planting all of the crop, you're preparing the field. You're getting everything ready and then you plant them, and then you enter into summer where it's kind of a lag because it gets so hot out, so you can't really be in the garden during the day, but you start harvesting things. And we just bought a dehydrator probably 2 weeks ago, and it has been the coolest investment because now, like, one of the things that I've been doing is dehydrating our food to preserve it for fall and winter. So whether that be like herbs that you're not gonna have fresh when it's when winter comes, or like peppermint to make peppermint tea, and just all kinds of food. And so you're then in the process of preserving the food that you've grown.
Yeah.
So that's one aspect with the food. The other thing is I have more time to cook because I'm at home. So I can meal plan, I prepare our meals, we eat super healthy because we eat the food we grow or we eat the food from the farmer's market. And because we buy all of our food fresh, it has to be used. And I think that's the other thing, is a lot of people have the best intentions with trying to eat healthy, so they buy food fresh. But if you're working all day, you come home, and the last thing you want to do is cut up vegetables and put them in a pan and steam them or whatever. That's why you end up going out to eat, because you don't have quick...
Or buying bad quick food.
Yeah, preservative food. So I can literally use fresh food every day, and we never let our food go to waste. Like, yeah. I can constantly see what's in our refrigerator, what's in our freezer, and come up with meals from that. The other thing is, we have really, like, this year, 2019, been really diligent with our budget and, like, keeping track of our expenses, which we've...
And that rests all on you, because I just don't have the time or energy to do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I might be earning the income, but Kelly's the one who's actually seeing where it goes, recording it, putting it on our scoreboard, and we actually haven't, like, for the first time in our lives, we have an amazing tracking plan of, like, oh my gosh, this is how much money we make, this is how much money we spend, this is where we're spending it, how we're spending it, and it's incredibly energizing for
me. It is, yeah, and it's really interesting, because I think I always feared the idea of budget, because I've been around controlling people with budgeting, and when they've budgeted, it's felt suppressing, like where a husband forces a wife to do a budget to, like, control the spending. But what's so freeing is when you have both identified your values and where your money's going, like, Scott doesn't have to worry about controlling how I spend money, because I only spend money if it's in alignment with our values, because we've talked about all of these things. So I don't just go and do retail therapy.
And we have like two really important goals coming up that it's like, oh my gosh, okay, all of our money is going to these two goals.
Yeah.
And it's goals that are energizing to both of us. It's not like, oh, that's your goal.
Yeah.
You know, it's like real energizing goals of, like, this is where our money is going.
Yeah. And so the budget has been actually freeing. And we call it a budget, but for us, it really hasn't even been a budget yet. It's been tracking where our money's going. So every time we use the credit card, I, like, put in where it's going. So we know how much money we've spent on the land and everything we've done on the land, from the raised beds to the seeds that we've bought. We know exactly how much we've put towards the raised beds, towards seed, towards trees, like, it's all very clearly defined.
So another thing is making a wonderful home, and being a placemaker, and making a home a nice, like, I love to just come home and sit and read and enjoy our home. We have lovely mornings, like, I think for me, like, that's amazing, just to have a nice morning with the Lord in the home that you like and enjoy. And there's a lot of good reading out there about the importance of sacred spaces for both men and women, but to have your own sacred space with the Lord. And so all of that comes to a thing I really loved that Joel Salatin said, is that he said a dollar saved is a dollar 30 earned. Because when you're earning money, you have to pay your 30% taxes on it. But if you're saving money, then it's almost worth, it is equivalently worth 30% more than if you had to earn it to then go and buy it. You know, so us making our own food, we're not paying taxes on that. Us having a nice entertainment at home, we're not paying taxes on that. Us, you know, all these different things that we can do at home.
And that includes, like, gift making. Like, a lot of people, when they, it's someone's birthday that comes around, they feel the need to go out and buy this big extravagant gift. But the fun part of being creative with your resources at home, it's like you think differently. You're like, okay, I'm at home, I have time, like, I want to make something special for that person, or like, growing something for them, like a pepper plant or a tomato plant if it's during the summer, and or a bouquet of flowers that you've grown from your garden. Like, recently I just got a really pretty vase at a yard sale for 50 cents, and I put flowers, zinnias from our garden in it, and I gave that to a friend, and it was
like a $15 if you had to go do that at a
like $15
florist
savings
or something.
And we've actually been, like, kind of keeping track of
our generosity fund is pumped, because we would do it at market value.
Yes,
like, that's a $15 gift we just gave someone,
it cost us our resources that we had, and like the seeds like grow, they take nothing to grow. And even on our land, it surprised us because we had tons of blackberries, like wild blackberries. We had so many gallon buckets that we got from our land. Mm-hmm. And if you think for organic blackberries from the store for one of those small clamshells, it's $3.99 like at Trader Joe's for one of those. And we like had $100 worth at least of blackberries that
are now in our freezer.
Yeah, and it literally just took the time to pick them. Mm. And it's so much more rewarding.
Yeah.
Gifts then are so much more special because they were something that you created and you put your hand on.
Yeah.
And cooking is so fulfilling.
Another thing that comes to mind is if one of you in the household has the time. Number one, if you have a plan, you know where your life is going, you know where your money's going, you know what your nutrition and diet is like, you know what projects are coming up. Is that, and Kelly's really good at this, is finding specials and finding discounts and finding sales. Because like, for instance, if we know what our food values are, we eat meat and veg and a few simple grains. So like now, if Kelly goes to, there's a closing down sale and it's like 50% off this, it's like, well, let's go buy a whole year. And because we've saved up cash for it, it's like, let's go buy a whole year's worth of this one thing that'll last a year.
Yeah.
And
we did that a year and a half ago. A Lucky's closed, so we went to their bulk section and we bought everything they had from the bulk section because it was 50% off. And we actually still have chia seed in glass.
And your shampoos.
Yeah, all my shampoos.
You
know,
like if you, that's the thing. If you have someone who's dedicated to building the home economy, you can then. What do you do when you build a business? You look for discounts. You look for sales. You look for specials. You look for wholesale. You look for direct. Deals that you can build your business with, and your home is an economy, your home is a business. And if someone isn't managing the business, then it just becomes a consumption zone. The next thing with that is the psychological costs, or the emotional cost, or the spiritual costs of a home economy. So you know, for instance, when both of us were working our different jobs, we'd both come home and we'd both be stressed out, both be tired. And it was just a toll on our marriage. We weren't seeing each other. The house was a mess. Our diet was a mess. Our emotional spending was a mess. So there was financial stress. And it just wasn't a great... There wasn't peace in the home. Whereas now, it's like, it's an amazing... Like, I can come home from a really stressful day and there's peace in the home because Kelly's at peace. She's got momentum in the things that she's pursuing and going after. And I think it took you a while to get there. Do you want to discuss some of the like lies and things that you had to...
Yeah, well, I think the question that I would get all the time when I first quit my job was, well, like, what do you do all day? Like, do you sit around and watch Netflix? Like, well, we don't even have Netflix, so no. So at the beginning, that was a lie that I was believing was, I'm not adding any value to society. Like, I'm not someone who adds value. Because I'm at home working, which I think that's such a cultural lie to get women into thinking you're not valuable unless you do something to show for everyone else, which that is such a lie from the pit of hell. Our value doesn't come from anything that we do. Our value comes from who we are and as being virtuous women who love God. Like, that's it. And so,
and then ironically, the things that you are doing are supremely valuable.
Yeah, and
it's just not what 90% of all the other women are doing.
Yes, exactly. And also coming to the terms with, like, the most valuable thing I could ever do is worship the Lord. Like, I would, at the beginning, I would some days, like, feel this need to, like, make sure I'm doing stuff so that way when Scott comes home from work, I could tell him all the things that I did. And the one day, I remember he said to me, I would actually be okay if you read books and if you just worshiped the Lord all day, or you just journaled or created your art. Like, you do not need to justify your time to me ever. And that's what I felt. I felt like I had to justify why I was staying at home, whether it be with you or with
your family or
anyone who asked. Yeah, like, I had to justify my time. And that's just a lie from the pit of hell. You don't ever have to justify your time to anyone. Especially, again, when you clarify your values and your vision, and when you have your vision set before you, then it's so much easier because it's like, okay, I know what our vision is.
Yep.
And
what our few projects that we're really gunning for are.
Yes, I'm going to do things mm-hmm. that are in alignment with our vision.
Yeah. And I think one of the other big things is when someone asks you, well, what do you do? It's not a reflection on you. It's a reflection on their inability to think what they would do.
Well, and I'll say what the one I felt like the Lord told me, because I asked Jesus the one day, I was like, what do I say when people say, what do you do? And I felt like what I got, I didn't hear God on this, but what came to me was say, well, what do you mean? I'm like, well, what do you do all day? I'm like, well, what would you do if you didn't work at your job?
Mm-hmm.
And if they don't have an answer, then it's like, well, that's why you're still working at your job, because you don't know, you don't have a vision for your life.
Yeah.
Whereas Scott and I, that has been our whole marriage, has been casting a vision, casting a vision. And have we redirected our vision so many times? The Lord has totally directed our steps. But we keep our vision before us, and we hold it with open hands, because if God wants to change it, that's fine. But
And I think that's where we are as a culture right now, is that women have been so brainwashed, and men too, because I'm going to get to this third step in the home economy right now.
Uh-huh.
But women have been so brainwashed into thinking that if you are a stay-at-home mom or work the home economy, that you are second class, that you are worthless, that you are backward, that you are oppressed, that you are, you know, all these worthless lies.
Mm-hmm.
The reality is that all those skills that have come down from generation to generation to generation to build a home economy, to increase the value and the brand. Kelly and I are a brand. We are a family economy. We are a family.
Tungay brand.
Yeah, we are the Tungay brand. And so, you know, I'm out there working a job getting cash income. But Kelly is my helpmeet.
Mm-hmm.
And so she's helping us as a family increase and become more successful, steward our wealth, steward our health, steward our community, steward our faith. And so what happens is you get this lie that says, number one, the woman is not allowed to help the man. Because if you help the man, you're second class to him. Well, guess what you're doing at a job? You're working for some dude who's not even your husband.
Some other man.
You know, and it's like, and you won't give your husband respect and submission, if you wanna go into the biblical, name for it. But you'll give some guy who you don't like,
mm-hmm.
who doesn't care about you, and who's, you know.
What is that?
But yeah, so you'll go and give this guy 9 hours of your day,
mm-hmm.
and not even answer back, and keep your emotions in check, and then you go home and you just explode on your husband, and you know, it's a total lie that has been pushed on the woman.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of the biggest things I think that we had to really go through is, what does it look like for a marriage to have one singular goal? Because that's the lie that's pushed on men,
mm-hmm.
is that you have to go off and work a career for 40 years and go be a high roller and go compete on your own. And it's like, no, we're very much a team.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's so many things that I suck at that Kelly's great at. And there's so many things that I could get away with that Kelly keeps me accountable to.
Mm-hmm.
And there's so many things that that we are both just, we do so much better together.
As a team. Yeah, because there's things you're really great at
mm-hmm.
that I'm also not good at.
And so this leads us to the third kind of step in Wendell Berry's home economy model, is he says that men have been lied to, is that it was the ancient way, it was the way of our forefathers to have a home economy for the whole family. So the husband and the wife would work at home. It was a homestead, a home industry, a cottage industry, if you want to call it that, where the husband works, the wife works, the children work, the uncles work, the cousins work, like everyone work, the neighbors work. And what happens is, like, hey, you know, we have these three things that we produce. We have these three services that we can offer. That's our home economy.
Mm-hmm.
And what's great about that is that in a village like that or a community like that, everybody has a service and a skill and a few products. And you have to start figuring out who offers what, and oh yeah, that, you know, that cousin does this and this neighbor does that, and oh, a friend of a friend does this, and that's how community is made. Now, no one has any skills, no one has any products. I'm out selling my time 45 hours a week, you're out selling your time 45 hours a week, and so when we come back home, there is no community, because we're offered a job we commuted an hour for with people who are going to be fired in the next 6 months anyway, so we don't really care about them. with a job, a boss who doesn't care about us because it's all about the numbers. Mm-hmm. And so what happens is this zero community because, oh, if my car breaks down, well, we just go to the industrial car shop. If I need food, I go to the industrial food shop. Mm-hmm. If I need, you know, anything I need becomes an industrial, just go to the mall, go to Amazon, mm-hmm. and there's no human connection anymore. Yeah. And there's no even like second thought of like, man, what would it be like to work together, husband and wife, mm-hmm. at something we enjoy? Because yes. that's it. The next thing is like, oh, I've worked with my wife, buddy. You don't want to do it. It brings stress on the marriage. It's like, yeah, because you're working some industrial job where you're like, yeah, we decided to start a blind shop together and sell blinds. And it's like, of course that's stressful. Like, who wants to do that? You know, but if you...
Unless you really like blinds.
I don't know. You know, but if you really have something that you're both passionate about, that mm-hmm. that's gets your values and it brings meaning, it's like it's wonderful to work together. Mm-hmm. And then because it's yours, it's your home economy, your children can come and work with you mm-hmm. and learn to play at what you are working at.
Yes.
And now they become, you know, 14, 15, 16 years old. They know what it's like to earn money, to be responsible, to work at something that has meaning. And now they're set up to have their own home economy because they're seeing it modeled.
Yes.
And that's our problem is, you know, I think you were very fortunate to have a mom who stayed at home mm-hmm. with you. And I was very fortunate to have my parents own their own home economy.
Mm-hmm.
So we had it modeled for us. But it didn't help because neither of us saw that as the way forward. We were kind of indoctrinated in the whole high school, mm-hmm. college system. Of like, go get a job in the city.
Yep.
The city's where you want to be. Get a big job. Earn a bunch of money. Get some credit cards. Have a nice car. Have a nice mm-hmm. house. Travel. Like, if you can do the nice car, nice house, travel, and show it on Instagram that you have a nice house, nice car, travel, you've made it. And it's like, we all know that those three things, number one, you don't own any of them. You're all on credit card debt.
Yes.
And number two, like, it doesn't bring you happiness. It actually makes you super stressed out.
To maintain that.
Yeah, you have to maintain it, you know. So I think the home economy is the goal beyond, I think for us, we've switched out the nice car, nice house, and travel to home economy.
Yep.
Build a home economy where we can both work together. Like, that's the goal that juices us and mm-hmm. energizes us. And from there, you then have something called freedom, you know, and liberty and wealth.
Yes.
You know, it's like, you know, 10 years down the line, if we do want to buy a nice car, then hey, let's buy a nice car. Yeah. But it's like, that's not what, like, we don't care anymore.
It's
like,
not our value.
We're going to drive, you know, this 20-year-old car till it's 30 years old.
Yep.
And then if it's still going, that's awesome. Because it's like putting money into cars is not going to get us to a home economy. It's going to keep me in bondage.
Yes.
And buying the biggest, like, even now we're looking to buy a house, and it's like, we're not looking to buy the nicest house that'll impress everyone. We're looking for a home economy. We're like, mm-hmm. what house will facilitate a home economy?
Yep.
You know, so like for us, we're trying to grow our own food. You know, we'll probably want like some form of a shop front, you know, because we want to sell stuff. We want some form of storage probably because, you know, we want to store stuff or make stuff or, you know, it's like, so that's your mindset.
Mm-hmm.
Your mindset starts changing on everything you do when you build a home economy. So we had a really good discussion as well about one industry towns, and it's like, man, like almost every town is a one, cities are multi-industry, towns are like one industry towns, right? So you get a farming town, what's the industry? Everybody farms. Mining towns, what's the industry? Everybody mines. College town, what's the industry? Everybody's around the college. And so you get this phenomenon where if the mine closes down or the college goes down the tubes, or if big agri comes and messes up the price, you know, the farm prices or whatever, the town disappears, mm-hmm. goes to a ghost town or a poverty town or a drug town. Drugs, by the way, are another town economy. They just don't increase the town.
It's just a negative.
Negative, yeah. But so what happens is, in a healthy one economy town, all right, because every town is going to be a one economy. In a healthy town, it becomes a one macro economy. But every single person who's part of that town has their own micro economy, their own home economy.
Mm-hmm.
So in other words, I could be working for the local big corporation or the local big mine or the local whatever. But if I've got my own home industry set up, you know, we've got our own food, we're financially, you know, investing into things that we can produce and we can, services and products that we can serve our community with.
Mm-hmm.
When that big corporation closes down or goes through a rocky time or whatever, all of a sudden, if, you know, 60, 70, 80% of your town all have their own home economy, it's like, you know, yeah, there's a bit of a dip in income, but there's no dip in services and products because, all right, like, now all my time and focus goes into my services and products, you know? And so there's this almost like amazing template that you can see that the strength of a community is the strength of its home economies. Yeah. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, that's something we've never really connected before until we've lived in a small town and we've gone to other small towns. And we're like, what's the difference between where we live, which isn't a thriving little town?
Yeah.
I guess it's not where we live because we live in a smaller town that is thriving.
Where we're renting right now compared to where we want to build.
Right. To where we want to build that town, it's not thriving. And, you know, just traveling around friends' towns and stuff and talking about it. Yeah, it's just fascinating.
But yeah, so I think our encouragement...
You don't have to live status quo and do things because that's the cultural norm.
Yeah.
This isn't something I feel like that's really talked about as a worthy life investment is investing into your home economy. I didn't even know that, like, I didn't even have a concept of this until we got married.
Yeah.
And Scott wanted to bring me home from my job, and that was really uncomfortable for me. But I was like, why would I not work? I could make money. Like, I could be adding value to our family by making money. But then we came to the point of, like, one, God told me to quit my job, so that was, like, done deal, putting in my 2 weeks.
Thank you, Lori.
But the weight of, like, stay at my job and we both make a whole bunch of money
and hate our lives.
Wasn't more valuable than me staying home and us being able to see each other. I was then able to come and go see rugby matches because I quit. And, like, there were so many other things, like, where the benefits of quitting my job outweighed all the reasons.
And there wasn't division. Like, she wasn't serving another man's vision.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we were now on the same vision.
Yeah.
And, like, it has been the blessing of the Lord ever since Kelly's quit her job, is that our finances have just been so, so blessed since that time. Like, we really,
it, like, doesn't make sense.
I think we just encourage you is to really change the goal of status quo, status maintenance, status acquisition to home economy acquisition, home economy maintenance, home economy building. And I think, like, just some great practical steps. Like, we were both totally against Dave Ramsey, like, totally just not interested in the guy. But I think, like, now that we're in a place of, like, oh my gosh, we're doing a really good job stewarding our money, stewarding, because that's it. We had this, the scripture was in Proverbs 22 verse 4, it says, diligent hands make rich. And it's like, that's all that Dave Ramsey bangs on about is diligent hands, diligent hands, diligent hands. But then 22 verse
10
says,
no, maybe it's like later on,
the blessing 24. Of the Lord makes rich and he adds no sorrow with it. And so we're like, oh yeah, we want this one. Like,
we want blessing,
the blessing of the Lord makes rich and he adds no sorrow with it, you know? And so now that we've really been encountering the blessing of the Lord, we are like, oh my gosh, it's both and. It's like, we're receiving the blessing of the Lord. There's no sorrow in our lives.
Yeah.
And it's like, now we have to work hard to steward that, to be responsible for what God's giving us, to grow what God's giving us, just like, oh my gosh, Lord, you've given us these gifts. You're blessing us so much. We want to take care of it. We want to be diligent stewards of it.
And then that brought us into
Dave Ramsey. Because, like, Dave, we want to honor your gift of, teach us how to be diligent.
And the scripture of honor a prophet and you'll receive the prophet's reward.
Mm-hmm.
And we're like, oh my gosh, he has become a master with finances. And he has the testimonies to prove it. Like, he has helped.
And it doesn't own him. Like, he...
It's like a gift God, he freely...
Exactly. God is his God, not money.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whereas all the other money guys, you're kind of like, I think money's their God.
Yeah. Like, I think another practical thing is really get with the Lord and ask him, what is in my lane for you? Like, what do you want to do through my life? What is the promises that you've put in my life? And really seek God about the vision for your life. And whether that be your... if you're married or if you're single, because if you're single, what's so great about doing that now is it really helps clarify when you're meeting people like, okay, like this person has the same vision as me, that's great. Yeah. Or, oh gosh, he does not have a similar vision at all, which sometimes God can use that. But I think that's, like, for us, that was a very clear sign for both of us, because when Scott was talking about his dreams and vision, I was like, oh gosh, like, that's the same as me. Which was very confirming and also terrifying at the time. But, so really ask God and seek Him about His vision for mm-hmm. your life, because that clarifies so many other things. It clarifies how you spend your money,
yeah.
what you do with your time, the people you spend time with, yeah. because that's another thing. If you're spending time with people who want to spend money doing...
You're going to spend money.
Everything, you're going to spend money. If you spend time with people who eat really bad food...
You're going to eat bad food.
You are who you hang out with.
I think we can give our own seven baby steps. What are seven baby easy things? Maybe not seven, but just what are some baby steps for growing your own food? Or for eating healthy and growing your own food?
Okay, well, I think those are two different things. But for eating healthy, it would be meat and vegetables. Make sure every meal has meat and vegetables. We do smoothie every morning, so that was a big thing. For growing your own food, it literally, you don't need land to grow your own food. Actually, I'm gonna get this pot. Growing this pepper plant.
Peppa Pig.
Out of this pot. So if you just have a balcony, you can grow your own food, because I grew lettuce out of pots because we were in the middle of moving and I wanted to be able to transport them, and we didn't have our beds done in our land this spring. So I did all arugula, everything out of just containers.
That tomato over there has got tomatoes on it.
Yeah, we have tomatoes, and all of our herbs are in containers.
You could do sunflower sprouts.
Yep, and that's super easy. Sunflower seeds, they're so easy to grow. And then you cut them when they're about this tall. You can put them in your salad. Another thing to save money with growing your own food and eating healthy is let your plants go to seed, and then harvest your seeds, and then you'll never have to buy seeds again. Each season, you just keep your own seeds. Or if you buy from a farmer's market, keep the seeds from the farmer's market food that you eat, like yeah. cucumbers or whatever else it is, peppers.
Especially if it tasted great.
Yeah, because especially if you get it, like, you want it to be an organic or no pesticide person. And then save your seeds from that, and then start in the next season. It is literally the simplest thing. You don't need
yeah.
to make it complicated. You don't need fertilizer. You just need good dirt, organic soil.
Where did you get that?
Lowe's. Or your local nursery. I preferred my local nursery, but it was about double the price getting the dirt from. So I started with the local nursery with the hopes of sticking with them. Mm-hmm. But then for financial yeah. reasons, it was cheaper at Lowe's.
Yeah. And then another thing I'm just thinking of that we do with our meals is Kelly will make double at night,
mm-hmm.
and then we'll eat it the next day for lunch or for dinner again. And I yep. think that's another status thing. It's like, oh no, like, because you were really worried about that at first, like, oh no, like, what are you gonna think? What am I gonna think if we eat the same thing for yeah. lunch tomorrow?
Or just eat the same meal
twice at night. Yeah, because sometimes we'll make like a huge pot of something and eat it for like two nights or three nights in a row.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, I'm perfectly fine with that. I really couldn't care less. Mm-hmm. Like when I was a bachelor, I was eating rice and sweet potatoes. So it's like anything is better for me.
Yeah.
But like that, cooking at that kind of scale
mm-hmm.
is super cheap, super nutritious.
Yes.
And super, like, I enjoy it. Eating out at restaurants and stuff, you know, I work at a restaurant and it's like, the food, you know, might taste great, it's a wonderful experience and stuff, but it's like you're getting charged every meal that gets on your plate is 30% the cost. Is, you know, if you buy a $10 meal, it costs the restaurant $3.
Well, an example of this is the cheesy fries.
Yeah.
So the one day I went into the restaurant and I really wanted cheesy fries, like I was just really wanting cheesy fries, and we've been disciplining ourselves with, like, not going to coffee shops and not going to restaurants because we figured that's an easy thing we can cut out of our budget. And so there was the farmer's market going on and they had potatoes, and so I bought like seven potatoes for $2, and I had like a sixth of a piece of local cheese left. And so I literally chopped up the tomato or the potatoes into fries and melted butter and mixed the butter with salt and pepper, put it on a cookie sheet with parchment paper, And then once it cooked all the way through, it was like delicious fries. And then I shredded the cheese and put it on top, put it back in the oven. And I made my own cheesy fries.
How much did it cost you?
It was a dollar. Literally just a dollar for, then that includes the good quality cheese because it was a sixth of it. And the, I only used two potatoes to do that.
And so like if you buy cheesy fries, like $4, $4 or something.
It's like $5.
$5. But so here's how you have to start thinking about home economy money versus public economy money. Home economy money is 1.3 times more valuable than public economy money. So Kelly didn't just save $4. She technically saved, what's 1.3 or 4, excuse my maths here, but she's technically saved like $5 or $6 because of the tax thing.
Mm-hmm.
So it's such a, and we were able to.
And it was healthier.
Yeah, it's healthier. You know.
And more rewarding because I problem solved.
Yeah. So I think really just to really start thinking about a home economy as anything you do yourself, product or service wise, mm-hmm. is 1.3 times more valuable than anything someone else can do that you have to pay money mm-hmm. for.
Yeah. It's exciting. Anyone can do it. If we can do it, we're ENFPs.
ENFP life, baby.
So, bless y'all.
See you guys.